Radio Ghana.
Good evening and welcome to Behind the News live on Radio Ghana in Accra. I am Abraham Asari. In tonight's edition, scuffle between Daily Guide newspaper camerawoman and BNR officials. GJ petitions National Security to order immediate investigation. Ghana Shippers Authority and Institute of Freight Forwarders disagree over intended Shippers Authority regulations. What are the real issues? We find out from some players in the industry. And CPP's Bright Akwiti spells out his vision for the party as he gathers momentum to get the note as party flag bearer. We are live in Accra and all over the country on all GBC FM stations. This is Radio Ghana. Our text line for tonight is 0264418767. The text line again is 0264418767. Some members of the public today watched in awe as a camerawoman from the Daily Guide newspaper fought hard to free herself from the grips of some BNR officials on the premises of the High Court. The camerawoman, Gifty Lawson, had gone to the court to cover the cocaine case involving DASP Gifty Mawenyaga Tehoda. After the proceedings, Ms. Lawson attempted taking a picture of DASP Tehoda, who was coming out of the courtroom after being granted bail. But the family of DSP Tehoda and BNR officials at the place had other ideas. They pounced on the camera woman and allegedly dragged her on the floor in their attempt to seize a camera. She and two of her colleagues were taken to BNR custody but have since been released. We'll be speaking to the editor of the Daily Guide, Fortuna Lemi, but let's first speak to the GJA, which has petitioned the IGP to order an immediate investigation into the matter. Afemoni is the Vice President of the GJA. He's in the line now. Good evening to you, Mr. Moni. Welcome to Behind the News.
Good evening, Abraham.
So you are calling on the IGP to order an immediate investigation. How immediate is your immediate?
In fact, the investigation is to be conducted with the speed of light, with all alacrity, because the seriousness of the matter demands that all efforts should be made to arrive at the bottom, at the fact, what really ignited the whole molestation of this poor journalist and her colleague. These are the first time journalists or the group of journalists have been attacked, but the scandalous frequency with which journalists are attacked is a cause for concern, because we wouldn't know when it will end. It could have resulted in Gifty's death, but we wouldn't go into detail once again into how shamefully her dignity was violated, her rights were trampled upon. But the picture painted in your report is so serious that nobody at all with a sense of shame, a sense of revulsion, a sense of anger should rest on this matter. We should all rally to the defense of this poor lady and her colleague and ensure that justice is done in their favor. We are urging human rights activists, evangelists, and apostles of human rights and rule of law, general activists, to all rally to the defense of this lady. The DJ is not alone in this fight. We'll appeal to everybody at all who is concerned one way or the other to come to our aid, because the attack against the lady is an attack against our press freedom, an attack against free expression, attack against democracy, attack against the very soul of this nation. So the nation is at risk. The nation is imperiled by the brutality of this attack, and will urge the IGP, the police high command, the national coordinator, and even the president.
You mean national security coordinator?
Exactly, because the BNR people operate under him, and the very people who are supposed to protect journalists. What an irony that they will turn their anger on this poor journalist.
But do you believe that, you know, the powers that be will heed this petition? I'm sure this is not the first time such a thing is happening in this country.
Exactly. This reinforces the need for full-scale investigation into this matter. This is not the first time, and nobody knows where it will end. And, you know, some of these things escalate tension. We all know this is a critical year, and anything which will ignite tension, which will cause tension to go beyond certain volcanic limits, should not be permitted. Journalists need freedom. In fact, freedom is the very essence of our profession. And when we are shackled, we all know the whole nation is shackled. So what has happened should ignite a sense of revulsion, a sense of anger, and a sense of action to ensure that justice is done.
Beyond petitioning, you know, the IGP, National Security, and all that, has the DJ any powers to do anything beyond just that?
Oh, we can impose a blackout on activities of institutions or personnel who attack our people. We can easily do that. And we all know the implications, how it will bite if we decide to blacklist the police or the BNI or any institution whose members attack journalists. We can easily do that and decide to highlight their misdeeds. But this is not on the table yet. We'll charge the sense of fairness of the IGP, the sense of fairness of the president, the sense of fairness of the National Security Coordinator to go into the bottom of this matter and deal squarely with the purpose of this crime.
Would you advise the people to go to court?
It's also an option on the table. But first of all, we want the whole truth, nothing but the truth, should be unraveled. And then based on the facts available, the facts will lend itself to what action to be taken. And we will not rest. No journalist in this country will rest because it's an attack against all of us. None of us is safe until the perpetrators are dealt with and dealt with squarely.
Mr. Money, thank you very much and have a good night.
Thank you, Abraham.
Now, editor of the Daily Guide is Fortune Alimi. Fortune, good evening. Welcome to Behind the News.
Good evening.
So, where is Gifty as you speak?
Gifty is gone home now.
You saw her before she left for home?
Yes, I did.
How was she feeling?
She was traumatized. She was very traumatized, you know. She was brutalized, molested, attacked, and the gun was pointed at her, threatening to shoot her at the court. You know, she was a bit scared, and I think she's recovering, hopefully.
Was she beaten up?
Yes, she did. She was beaten, seriously. And she wasn't the only person attacked. Two other staff were attacked at the court. And as we're talking now, one of them is still being detained.
Who is that? Which of them is that?
Four people from Daily Guide were in court. A reporter, a photojournalist, as well as two other staff to support them. Because yesterday, she encountered similar thing, but it wasn't serious like today. So we thought that maybe because being a lady or she needed support, we asked two security guys to accompany her to the court. And unfortunately, those guys were beaten seriously and they were all arrested. Later, they released two and the other guy is still being heard.
So that is to say that yesterday she attempted taking photograph when she had a similar experience.
We thought it was from the relatives of the lady. I'm talking about DSP.
Tehoda.
Yeah, so we thought that maybe if it was from the relatives, if we had somebody to protect maybe they can scare those people. Unfortunately, it wasn't so. Apparently, yesterday, we suspect that maybe those who also prevented her from taking the picture might have been security operatives. So we mistook it for relatives.
So what are you going to do now to have one of your staff, you know, who is still in BNI?
Yeah, we visited the BNI this evening to have access. Up to now, we haven't had access to the security guy. Up to now, we haven't had access to him. As we're talking now.
What did officials what did they tell you?
I'm going there.
We don't have any serious thing. We don't, because the BNI is maybe keeping him incommunicado. They are not letting her have, letting us having access to him. So up to now, we don't know what is actually going on, and we're still roaming about around the BNI offices at the Ridge office. In fact, we are shopping between Ridge and Kaukudi because we don't know where he's been held.
Has he been charged?
No charges prepared against.
But he in particular, did he also have a camera?
No. He is not a photographer.
But
Gifty's camera was taken from him. Then later, it was returned to her after the ordeal. After they were detained at the BNI office. it was returned to her. And they even molested her. They stuck their hands into a private part, you know. It's a very gory scene. It was a very despicable act, to say the least.
What are you telling Gifty?
Oh, we're referring the matter to our lawyers to handle it. But, you know, she has to be in a good frame of mind. So we're trying to sack her off psychologically so that she can be in a good frame of mind. From there, we can take it up.
Was she injured in any way?
Oh, she wasn't injured, but traumatized, as I said.
So she's not being too hot. Okay. She's not seeing the doctor.
After reporting it to the police, we asked her to go and see, I mean, visit the hospital.
So you're here to speak to your lawyers, as you say.
No, we've spoken to the lawyer, but we haven't given the full briefing because of the situation. You know, we still need to have access to the other guy so that he can also make statements to the lawyers. From there, we can take it up.
Would you like to go to court?
We can't rule that one out.
All right. Fortune, thank you very much, and we wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Fortune Alimi is the editor of the Daily Guide newspaper. You're listening to Behind the News. The program is live on Radio Ghana in Accra. We're also live at gbcghana.com. Send us a text, 026-441-8767. Well, the need to streamline operations in the shipping industry is seen as one way of promoting efficiency and reducing cost of doing business at Ghana's ports. However, the Ghana Shippers Authority regulations that will facilitate this is still waiting to be passed. The Ghana Institute of Freight Forwarders and the Ship Owners and Agents Association are against the passage as the shipper committees push for it. So why is there a disagreement and what is entailed in the proposed regulations? Emmanuel Akun is a freight and logistics manager of the Ghana Shippers Authority, and he has joined us now. Mr. Akun, good evening. Welcome to Behind the News.
Good evening.
I would guess if you could speak up a bit, sir.
Yeah, good evening.
So what is entailed in the proposed Shippers Authority regulation?
Yeah, thank you very much. I think the Ghana Shippers Authority regulations are intended to... I think they are in two parts. Essentially, there are two main strands in the regulations to provide for consultation between the authority and shipping service providers who operate along the country's logistics chain. And then the second strand is to provide for the negotiation of charges in relation to the clearance of cargo from the port and to ensure minimum standards and quality of shipping services to be rendered to our shippers.
Can you tell us why it's taking so long for it to be passed?
Well, I think that's a very interesting question. Ghana Shippers Authority was established in 1974 by NRCD 254 to represent the interests of shippers. Over the years, we have been involved in activities to protect the interests of shippers. If you watch our activities carefully, we have been involved in the provision of direct services to shippers. On a daily basis, we receive complaints for shippers. In 2010, we received about 200 complaints, and we dealt with about 80% of them. We do our trade program. We have shipper education programs. We have 10 regional shipper committees all over the country. We do small fora for shippers, etc. We are providing maritime data and information. We are also involved in the provision of infrastructure. You know about Buankra. We know about Takoradi Logistics Platform. You know our warehouses. We are also involved in maritime transport research. Another important thing that we are involved in is facilitation of...
Is that why it has taken so long? Well, the question is, why has it taken so long?
Well, we have been doing all these things over the years, but one area in which we have had difficulties has been with the negotiation of charges or the proliferation of charges in the port and how to stem them. There have been several attempts in the past to deal with this matter, but we have not made any headway. Fortunately, this time around, we have made sufficient headway, and we are ready to pass the regulation.
You speak of efficiency. How is the regulation going to promote efficiency?
Well, if you look at the ports, If at the time our law, our establishment law was enacted, you see that the players in the ports were few. With the advent of liberalization, you can talk about so many other players in the ports. And these things have come with attendant charges, and nobody seems to be handling them and addressing them. And therefore, for instance, today we have off doctors now. Today we have shipping agents. We have freight forwarders. We have all the other players in the industry. And everybody, every shipping service provider is, you know, imposing certain charges. And there's a need at this time for all these charges to be regulated in a way through negotiation, I must add.
And you believe the regulation is going to help to regulate or whatever this kind of charges? Are they illegal charges in the first place?
Yeah, I wouldn't even say illegal. I would say illegitimate charges, because they are charges that have no basis. For instance, a shipper who imports a vehicle, let's say from the port of Antwerp to Thermal Port, he has paid his freight. All he needs to do is to clear his cargo after paying customs duty. But the shipping company's agent in Ghana will ask him to pay certain amount before he releases the cargo. And to us, they are paying for no work done. Presently, they are paying as much as $500 per 20-foot container. And what about those who provide the equipment themselves, the port authority? How much are they charging? So there's a need for us to address this thing so that the cost of doing business at a port that is putting enormous pressure on the country's economy could be addressed.
And I'm sure you know that others are against the passage of this regulation. The Ghana Institute of Freight Forwarders is against it. Why do you think they are against it?
Yeah, we are really surprised at the position of Ghana Institute of Freight Forwarders against the passage of this regulation. Because over the years, we have been together with the Ghana Institute of Freight Forwarders in championing the cause of the removal of these illegitimate charges. In fact, it will be recalled that the Ghana Institute of Freight Forwarders organized so many forums. In fact, they were supported by the Boostak Fund, and they did so many conferences, press conferences, and, you know, criticized the Ghana Shippers Authority for inaction in this direction. So we are surprised that having come this far with regulations that will address the issues once and for all, they are kicking against it. I think they are in a better position to tell us exactly why they don't want these regulations.
What do you suspect?
Well, I don't know if I suspect anything at this stage, because I think that we are all in this together. They are freight forwarders. They clear cargo for their shippers. And our shippers are complaining about these charges. And if we are doing something to address it, I am at a loss why they want to kick against.
Okay, Mr. Akko, so hold on. Since you do not know why they want to kick against it, we'd like to find out from them, and maybe you have the benefit of knowing why. So please, stay on the line. Carlos Ahinkra is the president of the Ghana Institute of Freight Forwarders. They are appealing to the Minister of Transport to take another look at the proposed regulation before it goes to Parliament. So, Mr. Ahinkra, good evening. Welcome to Radio Ghana. What is your main concern with the regulation in its present form?
Good evening, sir. Before I answer that question, I'd like to take up something that Mr. Akko just mentioned as to not knowing why we are taking this stand. And our only reason is Shippers Council is the organization that caused the collection of these charges in the first place. They mandated the shipping agents, the carriers agents, to collect this amount way back in 1987. And so therefore, I'll be very surprised if Mr. Akko there says that he doesn't know why we are doing this. And I'll tell you why. There's a history. Shippers Council in 1987 were approached by the shipping line, or the shipping agents for that matter.
Before you go on, Mr. Ahinkra, are you saying the Shippers Council actually gave you the go-ahead to charge the charges you're putting in place?
They didn't give me the go-ahead. They gave the shipping agents he is discussing, talking about.
Yes.
There are two people you are discussing here. There are freight forwarders,
mm-hmm,
and there are shipping agents.
Yes.
Freight forwarders are those that you formerly called clearing agents. Now we don't have clearing agents. We are all freight forwarders. We handle door-to-door shipments.
Yes.
And so therefore, the scenario has changed. Now, what we are saying is, or what he is saying is that shipping agents are charging monies before they release cargo to importers who have already paid their freight on liner bills of lading. And what I'm trying to say is, this charge was mandated, I would use the word mandated because I have letters to that effect, that Shippers Council itself in 1987 allowed, mandated the shipping agents to charge the very shippers claim or the purport to represent. For no apparent reason, because it is seriously against any maritime principle for anybody to ask a carrier agent who is not part of the contract of carriage to charge a shipper, an importer, money before they release cargo to them. Now, this amount in 1987 was only $10. In 1990, the shipping agent approached the shipping shippers council again, because then it was well assumed that the shippers shippers council was representing shippers in Ghana. They approached them again to say that the cost of doing business had gone up, so they wanted an increment. The shippers council again gave them a 100% increment from $10 to $20 without recourse to any discussion with any shipper.
So to you, the charges are not illegitimate?
They are illegitimate from the word go, and it was mandated, it was initiated by the very shippers council, who is today looking for ways and means to control that charge.
In that case, if they've been illegitimate from the beginning, I'm sure that it is just proper to correct what was the wrong that was done in the past.
Yeah, but that's what I'm bringing you up to speed on this. We brought this up somewhere about, I think, 15 years or 10 years ago. The minister in charge asked Shippers Council to write a letter to the shipping lines to stop charging these amounts. The Shippers Council wrote the letter asking them to stop charging all other amounts apart from administrative charge. So what did the shipping agents do? They bundled up all the other charges under administrative charge and started charging. The minister was not happy. He wrote a letter to the shipping agents to stop charging, and they went to a lawyer to challenge the mandate of the minister. The minister took this letter to Attorney General, and we didn't hear anything again. Now, another minister came to the Ministry of Transport, where then the Ministry of Ports and Harbors, and after sitting all the stakeholders down, realized that they didn't have any reason for charging. In fact, Shippers Council even erred in allowing them to charge in the first place, because whatever they said they were charging the money for, they were being paid already by Ghana Ports and Harbors Authority for using their own machines to deliver cargoes to shippers. So therefore, the minister, in his wisdom, said what he is going to give should please everybody. So the shipping agent should charge only $55 per bill of lading. We have all these in letters that we should produce to anybody.
Okay, so, but they see the concern of others. Some are saying that you are against this arrangement because of this regulation, because you freight forwarders somehow benefit from the present arrangement.
Let me tell you, we don't benefit. In fact, we have been the champions of kicking against this charge. Now, because the Shippers Council didn't have that willingness to kick against or just cancel this charge that they brought about in the first place, we had to resort to Parliament to assist us find a way. So, therefore, we got Parliament to give the mandate to the Ghana Maritime Authority. As I speak to you now, today, the Ghana Maritime Authority is the only agency in Ghana by an act of Parliament who is supposed to register and regulate shipping service providers in our ports in Ghana. What we are taking against the Ghana Shippers Authority Act is that they are bringing a legislation or a legislative instrument which cannot override a parent act that has already been given to the Ghana Maritime Authority. Whatever they are seeking to do right now, it's already enshrined in an act. So why do you want to bypass or sidestep the act that has been given? And you bring in an ally for it to operate over and above the ally.
So what do you want them to do now?
What I want them to do, and if you listen to me very carefully, is that shippers organizations or shippers associations the world over, it's a private organization. I can tell you for a fact that we are having all these problems because Ghana Shippers Authority, as presently constituted, is a quasi-governmental organization. And so, therefore, many of the problems that we are facing in the port, especially if it's to do with a government organization, they are not able to fight it. The charges or the problem we have in the port is not only with shipping agents. Why? GAPOA is a government agency. Sometimes they have certain charges that we kick against, but we don't have any shipping organization to assist us. So therefore, it goes stale. We have problems with the inspection companies. We have problems with off-block terminals. We have problems all over the port, everywhere, even the clearance procedure. But because the Ghana Shippers Authority is a government agency who collects money from various shippers in Ghana, and these shippers don't have any control over the money they collect, they use any how they want, they just go about doing things their own way, and it is not helping us.
Okay, Mr. Ahinka, thank you very much for time tonight, and you have a good night. Briefly to you, Mr. Akong, this regulation, is it only about charges?
Yeah, thank you, thank you, Mr. Host. I think Mr. Hinkra has put out some misinformation out there that needs to be corrected. The issue about we allowing the charges to come in the first place has a history. This thing happened at a time when the port infrastructure has collapsed completely, where the shipping agents themselves were using their equipment to work on their vessels. So we allowed that amount.
Which was illegitimate, which you believe was illegitimate at the time.
At that time, they were using their equipment, and our shippers said that if that is what is necessary for them to bring their cargo in time, they were prepared to pay that amount, $10. And that was what we agreed. Over a period, the Port Authority has re-equipped, there has been rehabilitation, so there was no need for this charge.
Yet they were allowed to double the amount to 20.
No, that is total fabrication. That is not true at all. So ever since, we have written back to them to say that they should withdraw the charges, and they have refused. And we have been advised that the only way we can deal with this thing is to revise our regulation. And that is exactly what we have done now. Number two, he talks about the fact that I'm surprised. He has a problem with the charges, and he wants us to. He's choosing which organization must address the problem. To me, that is very interesting. If you look at our regulation, our establishment law, NRCD 254, it is very clear as to what our functions and our mandate are. Just to read just the first...
I'm afraid it's just... I have just 30 seconds for you, if you can just summarize it.
Yes. So let me tell you what we are supposed to do. It said that it shall be the duty of the Shippers Council to provide facilities for mutual consultation. It shall, without prejudice to subsection 1, the council shall have the power to represent the views of shippers. And then the council shall have the power to negotiate and to enter into agreement with ship owners on matters affecting shippers. Is this a subsidiary legislation or subsidiary act? This is the parent law of the Ghana Shippers Authority. I don't think he knows what exactly he's talking about.
Exactly. Thank you very much. I'm afraid we may have to follow up next time, but thank you so much for tonight. Thank you so much, and you have a good night. Emmanuel Akun is a freight and logistics manager of the Ghana Shippers Authority. We also spoke to Carlos Ahinkra. He is the president of the Ghana Institute of Freight Forwarders. Behind the news, live on Radio Ghana in Accra, are some of the text messages. This one says, in as much as you blame the fox for preying on your fowls, you equally must have to blame your stray fowls. What prompted or informed the judge to order the real retest of the substance? I sincerely believe the judge and his clerks have a case to answer. Alhassan Bauer in Tamale says, Abraham Uyome and the Auditor General, who is speaking the truth. Akutua Razak in Tamale also says the minority MPP should apologize to Ghanaians in Uyome for giving a wrong amount paid to Uyome. You're listening to Behind the News. The program is live. Well, the CPP has opened nominations for the election of its flag bearer for the 2012 elections. One of the people who has expressed interest in the position and has in fact picked the nomination form is lawyer Bright Akwete. What makes him think he has the quality to lead the CPP to capture power in December of this year? Ms. Akwete is in the studio with me tonight to share with us his vision for the CPP and by extension for Ghana. Zakwete, good evening to you. Welcome to Behind the News.
Good evening and thank you.
I'm sure you have a good year so far.
So far, yes. Mm-hmm. So far.
Well, we'll be going into the CPP and your intention to bear the flag of the party. But first of all, I'm sure you are a lawyer. The news that is making rounds today is that one journalist, a reporter, a camerawoman was molested and picked up by BNR officials. What do you make of that?
I don't know what offense she committed.
Attempting to take a photograph.
I don't know under which rule that comes, under which law that comes. There is no notice on the court premises that photograph should not be taken. You may not take a, you must not take a photograph in the courtroom. You must be allowed to do that. So you see, normally photographs of judges are sketched when they're trying cases. But outside, I haven't seen any law debarring people from taking photographs. So that if there's a security man or personnel on trial, and you don't want photographs to be taken, you take the immediate step of going out and telling the journalists we don't want photographs taken. Because they don't commit any offenses when they take photographs, unless you know that they are going to distort information about the photographs they are taking. So I was actually surprised that the lady was, in fact, molested and dragged on the ground and other things that I heard that are horrible. I'm surprised at that, and I would not expect that from our security agents. If they did that, then there are some questions to answer.
You are a lawyer. What advice would you give them if they came to you?
The security agencies?
No.
The molestation. I don't know what offense they committed. You might want to take up the issue. You don't go to court immediately. Just notify the IGP that a thing of this sort has happened. We're not happy about it. Because the journalists are working in tandem with the police all the time. They go for information from the police, and the police supply the information. So they should cooperate to give the public or the general public the right information. In this situation, I will not go to court immediately. I'll seek an apology from the IGP or the people who did that for the lady or to the lady and ask for some compensation. The police will apologize publicly.
Compensation, monetary compensation.
It could be. That could be worked out.
About how much?
Oh, depends on the circumstances of the case. If you go to court through the actual court processes, you can ask for something. But I don't know how she was handled. She was handled when she was on the ground to expose any part of her body.
So we hear.
We need confirmation from for that. But if anybody, as I heard, tried to do anything untoward to the lady as a lady, I think everybody would abhor that, and nobody would give credit to the police for doing that. That is not part of their business. They are supposed to show us, when they're in the public place, that they're also part of us, that they're humane, that they respect us. So I'll be surprised if that such a thing happened.
Okay, now back to you, Mr. Kwete. You are a leading member of the CPP, and you have made your intentions clear that you want to be the flag bearer of the party. Why?
Because I don't like the state in which the party is or has been for some time now.
Is your concern just about the party or the nation?
It starts with the party, because this party was the liberator of Ghana.
You don't like how the state in which it is now.
No.
You've been part of it all this while.
I've been part of it practically from 2005, about March 2005, when with the help of some people we initiated the formation of CPP Patriots to help revamp the party, to help energize the party. And we had a collection of people, a strong regiment of intellectuals and businessmen and other people who discussed how to revamp the party, how to make the party attractive and to win votes. We did our best, but our best was not enough. And during the elections in 2007, December 16th, there was a result. That result did not help us much. And current occurrences have shown that we're right in not being happy with that result.
In 2008.
Because things were not organized the way we wanted, to our expectation as the Patriots. So, when I saw things going the way things have gone up to now, there seemed to be the absence of discipline. There seemed to be lack of clear direction. But it's the party that should galvanize everybody into action at all times.
And you think by being the flag bearer you can correct things?
I can. I must.
You have party executive, you have chairperson, you have vice, you have other executive of the party. Why does he have to take a flag bearer who wants to win the presidency to reform a party?
No, we do it together.
If your vision is mainly for your party, how sure are you going to get the votes of other people?
You see, you start with the party, make the party attractive and get people to believe in the party, that the party can take Ghana.
Then you should have stood for the position of chairman
of the party.
Yes.
Not immediately. There is somebody who was vying for the position of chairman we thought could handle things if we cooperate. You see, in a situation where you're in the classroom, there are 40 students, some can be first, second, third, fourth, or 10th, or 39th, or 40th. It depends on which of the members in the class you choose to lead. If you choose a person who is 30th in class, or 29th, to lead, he might not do as well as the person who is first, or second, or third. But unfortunately, we have such a situation.
But leadership is not may not be, you know, academic, you know, you may not need academic prowess to be a good leader.
No, no. You must be a good leader. You must have the vision and the direction. You must have a focus.
You're speaking about things that have happened, you know, about which you are not too happy. Tell us.
You see, where you have leadership that is wavering, where you have leadership that is not firm, where you have leadership that is not focused on the ideals of the party, the philosophy of the party, it makes it a little uncomfortable when you sit by. So when you think that you can do better, then better get involved. Because if you refuse to rule, you might be ruled by people who are less intelligent than you are.
I'm afraid I do not understand what you're talking about, Mr. Kwiti.
What I mean to say is that some people are performing the function. They are not doing it very well.
What function?
The function of leadership. The function of leading. The function of reorganizing the party.
You mean flag bearership?
Not the flag bearership. The organization. The structure itself. You see, we just amended our constitution to make it possible for us to organize at the polling station level. That has taken quite a time. From 1992, the constitution or the laws on elections have carved the strata. It starts from the polling station to the constituency to the regional and the national. But we were still organizing at the world level. CPP has been known to be organizing at the world level, being stronger at the world level. But the words are no more. But we were still organizing at the world level. So now, we have amended our constitution to make it possible for us to also start with the polling station level, because that's where the votes are counted. And if we didn't start at the polling station, it means that when votes are being counted, we will not have polling agents. When we don't have polling agents, how do we ensure that our votes are protected? Then secondly, if there are no polling agents, that accounted for CBP 1, CBP 2, to CBP 5. So now, with the help of the executive, we're organizing the polling station elections to have CPP, so many as anybody else can have, we can have more and even better in other situations. So the situation now is such that we're organizing at the grassroots. We have been known to be organizing at the grassroots. How come that somebody or other parties have taken over the grassroots organization and we are sitting by? So if you know how to do it, you get involved. You don't stay aloof.
Is that what you're doing by declaring your flag bearership intention?
That is what I want to do. That is what I want to do. And I've been committed to that. With my contributions in the party, I've been committed to assisting the party to find its bearings. It looks like we are adrift now. But we have to come back on track and move gradually towards the goal of revamping, revitalizing the CPP and making it the mass political organization that everybody else will be proud to belong to. You know the ultimate goal? The ultimate goal, we have two. First, to win respect for the black man, for him to assert himself, and to make it possible for the black man to get together with his fellow black men all over the continent for purposes of uniting the continent and our resources. These two have been lost on us for some time now. That's why Ghana is going adrift. So with the CPP, if we get back on track, we've got our bearings right, and we're moving, we know that we have objectives.
So some have said, the CPP should not concern itself with the presidency now. It should go back to the grassroots, organize at the polling station level, and from there up to the presidency. Why don't you do that? You say you are doing that, but you want to be the presidential candidate. Why don't you suspend your intentions to win the presidency for this year?
That would be a wrong strategy. The MPs that you want to stand should look up to a leader. The party must have a leader. Somebody who will start from somewhere and move gradually towards the ultimate. If you don't have a leader, the parliamentary candidates are going to look up to other leaders in other political parties. And there may be one over. You must have a leader who will give the actual direction as to how the party should be managed and controlled towards the elections.
You've always had a leader. You've always had a presidential candidate. But you were never able to use that leadership to organize the party from the grassroots.
As I said earlier on, in a class of 40 pupils, one will be first, somebody will be second, somebody will be 12th. And if the person who is 25th in class all the time is the person you have as a leader now, You might as well change that and bring the person who is first or second or third in the leadership capacity to lead.
So are you saying then that those who were leading were those in the 24th position or the 12th position?
Those who were leading have not provided the quality of leadership and the kind of organization that would unite the party.
These are people who have accomplished a lot in private life and in business. Why couldn't they translate that into party political party organization?
It was most unfortunate because we have not had the kind of organization that will bind everybody together, that will attract everybody, that will unite the party.
And the fourth is those you voted for to become your leaders?
The fourth is both those we voted for and those who manipulated those who were voted for.
I don't get that.
Oh, you see, there are people. Ghana politics has now changed. The politics as I knew it before, as a young boy, is not the politics as we know it now. People are using money to win positions. And you don't get the best if you use money to win positions. You don't get the best, you don't get a committed man or the woman. You get what is available.
You're saying that your delegates are bribed to vote?
Well, I will not rule out that one because I saw it in Kumasi myself. I saw it.
You saw delegates being given money to vote?
Yes, yes.
Or
openly,
they were being assisted to pay for their lunch?
Openly. Openly. They were not for their lunch. Lunch was being provided outside the lunch that was provided by the party. And somebody was just masterminding the payment to delegates of money. I don't have that kind of money to...
You saw it in Kumasi when?
We saw it in Kumasi during the 2007 elections. And we were appalled by it. Some of us even petitioned the leadership right there. I sent a petition with George Agude right there against what was happening. You know, if you try to get to the top by paying money, you might not be the best person.
But I assure you that the one who won was the one who was giving money.
The one who won was the one who was giving money because we all saw it.
You saw him.
We saw it happen with a group of people.
Happily,
that situation might not occur at the next Congress because we have a different situation now. We have a different climate now.
And the difference is that Dr. Arindum, who was the flag bearer, has left your party. Is that good news for you?
That is more than so. Because
you win. Because you have a chance, chance of winning.
No, no, no. You know, when I started, I didn't know what was in the forest. So I just gathered my loins and went into the forest to find out what was happening. And I saw the untoward things that were happening. The things that were deplorable. The despicable things that were happening. Because these are electoral offenses.
Share with us.
Oh, no, I have a party whose integrity I should also protect. I cannot share everything with you. But what I'm saying in general is that my first time of attending a CPP Congress was in 2007. Because previously I was in the public service. And I was appalled by what I saw. So I was determined that if this is the way it's been going, I will fight it. I'll be against it. I will not love
it. You're saying that you are more than happy that Dr. Arindum has left. Are you saying that he was the worst thing that ever happened to the CPP?
You have not seen the quality of harmony, confusion and create this unity. We're told to go out of the Central Committee meeting. That is where we saw the real commitment, the real lovers of the party.
What is harmony? What is harmony in a party of, you know, different caliber of people? You should have people who can say what you're saying is not the right thing.
That happened. But we don't have people who appear to have come with a gun, you know, blazing already from somewhere, who have come to fight and creating problems for the order in the meeting. The meeting must be chaired by the chairman and leader, and everybody must respect the chairman and leader. But when you have people openly being defiant to the chairman or leader of the party, you will not have order. But that was orchestrated. At least I saw it in two meetings of the Central Committee.
Well, in your conference room at the headquarters, you had that harmony. But outside there, many are defecting from your party.
Oh,
that harmony has not been translated into support, you know.
Just listen to this. You see, the last elections, most of the elections that were held at the constituency and regional levels, were all orchestrated by one person who wanted to find a way of coming to lead the CPP again by the same methods that were used in 2007 at the Congress. So, for instance, in Obuasi, it was a situation where workers of a particular hotel hijacked the constituency elections and shared the position amongst themselves. So, such workers or such a person would normally defect and easily defect and say that they have defected. They did it against the will of the committed people, the loyalists in the party. So now, if they say they are gone, then we are happy because the committed members of the party will now come and take over. They are not coming to take over by dint of the fact that they've been paid money, but they're coming with their hearts, with their minds and their souls to come and support the party. Most of them who say we are defecting, we're paid money to stand for elections.
Behind the News, live on Radio Ghana in Accra and all regional FM stations of the GBC. Tonight we are speaking to Mr. Bright Akwete. He is a flag bearer, aspirant of the CPP, and he's with us tonight in the studio. So, now back to you. You want to become president of Ghana.
Yes.
Can you?
I can.
Why can you?
Because...
How can you?
I have worked over my life, all throughout my life. I've hated certain things, injustices, and corruption and crime. And I fought these when I was in the Attorney General's office. I fought these things. And I saw, fortunately for me, the areas where our revenue has been leaking to. I saw, unfortunately, how institutions of state were milking the state, how private companies were milking the state, how foreign companies were pillaging our resources in the full view of Ghanaian officials and would do nothing, and how we have sold our natural resources for pittance.
So anybody who has seen all this can be president?
Anybody who has seen all this and can find solutions to them.
What did you do at the time?
Well, I was just a public prosecutor and investigating economic crime.
You could have blown a whistle.
Oh, yes. You can blow the whistle. And you know what happened to me when I was in the Gambia? I was investigating a major fuel fraud against the Gambian government. And they had the evidence. I gave it to the Attorney General. This is the parameter of the investigations. I'm going to do this. He said, what? If you're going to do this, give me 2 days. 2 days I went and said, well, I want to ask the person who was the subject of the investigation, and he says he hasn't done any of the things you have put down. The Attorney General went to the subject of the investigations and gave the information to that person. Apparently, that person was the auntie's husband. Eventually, I was stopped from investigating, and I had to be thrown back to Ghana. You know what happened to me? The Attorney General of Gambia got in touch with the Attorney General of Ghana, and they conspired to throw me out of Gambia. And my things were thrown out of the bungalow in Gambia, and I was told that this is the sea. Go back to your country. Because I was investigating that particular matter.
Which year was this?
This was 1998, April 1998. So I came back. In fact, first I called Ghana and said, look, this is what is happening. But I had had information about the communication between the Attorney General of Ghana and the Attorney General of Gambia and why I should be brought back. So I was told, come back home. I said, well, I'm involved in a certain investigation. This is crucial for the country. They said, no. Come back home. We have work for you to do at home. Then eventually the president was told by the Attorney General of Gambia that I was facing charges of corruption in Ghana and had come to hide in the Gambia. Meanwhile, I was told to go to the Gambia on secondment by the government of Ghana with the consent of the same Attorney General. So I realized that you can have the information and give it to people, but they will not act on them.
Is that why I never did anything like that in Ghana?
Didn't do what?
Anything like what you did in Gambia. Did you?
Oh, I did a lot of investigations in Ghana. I did that. Look,
the argument is that a good lawyer can be a good president.
No. You must have the vision. You must have the leadership qualities to do that. Must have the commitment to do that. You must have the kind of direction you want to give. You must have that ability to lead people, to do the right thing.
So tell me, what leadership qualities does Bright Akwete have?
You see, I don't know, but it looks like I've been endowed with it. And I've developed it over the years. Through primary school, through elementary school. I was class prefect or school prefect in Obuasi when I was in Salvation Army School. It was only up to four classes then. In Ajuru Anglican Primary School, I was the school prefect. In Sesuyosu Anglican Middle School, I was the school prefect. At Wesley Grammar School, I was the school prefect, dining hall prefect. In secondary college, I was a sports prefect. And I've been the president of the Ghana United Nations Students and Youth Association, national level in Ghana, from regional to national level. And I became president, the first black president of the International Youth and Student Movement for the United Nations, ISMUN, in Geneva. So I've done this. But even when it came to investigation...
So as a student, yes, but as an adult man...
As an adult?
Yes. What leadership roles have you played in life?
If you look at the situation in the Attorney General's office, you take instructions. But I was able to initiate investigations into the timber industry in Ghana. There was a massive fraud in the timber industry, and I was assisted. Fortunately, I was assisted by the chief of staff then to unravel the whole fraud. And I suffered for it. I suffered tremendously for trying to expose the fraud. I prosecuted economic crime cases that people were running away from. That my bosses, my seniors were running away from. They were giving them to me to prosecute. And I didn't shy away. I prosecuted them because as a young pioneer, I was taught to protect state property.
I asked you to tell me the leadership qualities that you have. You've enumerated, you know, your leadership profile, but you've not told me about the qualities you have.
The ability to lead.
What is it?
The ability to lead. Do something to get people to follow you and tell you that what you're doing is right, and so I want to follow you. The seasoning over the period about being buffeted by problems here and there and standing tall in the midst of all this and leading and going on and not falling. And when I fall, I rise. Anytime I fell, I rose. And I went ahead. And people followed.
Are there people following you today?
There are people following me. I wish you were at the meeting I just finished with the people who are organizing my campaign now. They're coming willingly from their heart.
Because you're giving them transport.
Because I'm giving them leadership. Because they think I can do what should be done in the party to attract everybody to come together. There are people in this party, if I invite to a meeting, would come. If any other person invited them who thought he was an aspirant, invited them, they will not come. Because they want to see something else
but
in
that
you.
That hasn't happened yet, has
that,
it?
No. It has happened before. It has happened before. You need that drive. You need that drive and the commitment and the loyalty to the cause and the focus to lead people. They must see that you have the courage to do it. If you don't have the courage, run away. But I think that God has endowed me with the courage that he baptized those people who came ahead of me. Fortunately, I have a little bit of it to use for Mother Ghana. And I think that for the rest of the life that I have in me, if I'm allowed to sacrifice the period I have to serve Mother Ghana in leadership position, we'll achieve a lot, because I won't be going through an attorney general who decided I'm going to enter Nolle Prosequi. I'm not going to prosecute because this man attends the same church as I do. Or this one was my senior in school. Or this is a lodge brother.
But you will not be the attorney general if you're president.
If I'm the president, I'll be directing the attorney general and I'll make sure he does the right thing. But if I'm the attorney general, the president can say, no, I won't do it. And when I was not the attorney general in the Gambia and I was in a subordinate position, that's how come they were able to throw my things out.
Behind the News, live on Radio Ghana in Accra tonight. Our guest is Mr. Bright Akwete, CPP member. He wants to be the leader of the party into this year's elections. Here are some of your text messages. Now, CPP is as strong as the first day it was formed without Papa Kwesi Indum, Kojo Akins in Cape Coast sent us that text. Now, CPP should try and unite and pledge their support to President Mills to continue the Better Ghana agenda, as is Donla Inwa. I think the BNI officials must be punished severely for that malicious conduct against the Daily Guide reporter, Adongo Peter, at Wemfie Bonafo. Why should it take the Auditor General all this time to give us the facts about the Wayome case, Redeemer Hohoi? Now, we are running a multi-party democracy, and it looks like an independent candidate may not win the presidency anytime soon, because political parties play a very major role. Do you think your party can carry you to the presidency?
The party, if revived the way we envisage,
you can do that in 12 months?
We can do it, because look, we did it in 1979. We organized, and organized we did only through, you know, at funerals. Eventually, when we had to even get a candidate, our candidate was disqualified 3 months to the election. That CPP spirit is there. We would revive it, and it would make a headway this time. 3 months, Dr. Liman was able to win election. People ask, Lee who? He was able to win election because we had a very dynamic machinery. That machinery is what I'm determined to help to build. When we have that machinery and we are moving, it will sweep everything in its path. But you need to be patriotic to be able to do that. And I was imbued with a spirit of patriotism. It was instilled into me when I was a young pioneer. The code of conduct of the Ghana young pioneer. You have to love your country. You have to be selfless. You have to protect state property. You have to be proud that you are a Ghanaian. Above all, you must assist in the running of the country, but also being vigilant in things that will distract the attention.
So, how? Where are you with your party reorganization?
It's been ongoing for some time. That reorganization is what prompted some people to start throwing stones.
Yes, and that reorganization is what prompted some people to build party offices, constituency offices for you.
You see?
And such people are gone.
Most of the time, the constituencies go and look for accommodation, and they ask for funding to pay the rent. Now,
Somebody says, don't pay rent, I'll build it for you. You don't like
no,
that?
Not one has been built. Not one office was built by anybody. It's been all the time somebody going ahead of the party executive, out of the rules, off track, to go and pay without the knowledge of the party executives at the national level, and saying, I open this office, I open that office, I open that office. Is that what you want to run the party with? It is the people who run the office, who run the organization, who matter. So you run ahead without the knowledge of the chairman of the party and the leader, and then you go and pay because you have money. You cannot build the CPP just with money. So because the CPP cannot be revived by a rich man. You need to attract people. If you have money and you throw it about...
Only the rich man can attract people. Anything wrong with that?
Then the rich man might not have all the qualities of leadership to lead the people. You must lead them astray into the gutter.
No, you seem to suggest that because you're a rich man, it's wrong to attract people to your party.
No, you might be rich but will not have the qualities of leadership.
And you might be rich and still have them.
Yes, sir, but not in this situation. You might be rich and have the qualities, but not in this situation. We don't have it in this situation. Look at the performance. What was the performance? What was the percentage? Without that wealth.
It may not be because of the candidate. Possibly it could be because the party was weak.
The party was ready to be organized. If a candidate is prepared to spend money on people on the street to come and gather for him to address them and say that, the party is making progress. Or in circle, Kwame Nkrumah circle, where you organize people with everybody holding CPP card. Then we are all CPP. Then when it comes to the voting, you don't get anybody voting for the CPP. What kind of progress is that? Give the money to the national secretary.
Did you campaign in 2008 for the CPP?
2008?
Did you
presidential candidate?
Yes, for him?
No.
Why not?
Because the presidential candidate came to us who had been formed into the CPP national campaign team, where we had people leading us, and our leader was Kwame Nabenyako, competent person in strategy. He put everything down. We're organizing ourselves. The flag bearer said and came and said, I don't want to work with you. We said, no, this is the national campaign team of the CPP. He said, no, I have my campaign team of A, B, C, and D. So he did not work with us.
I sat back.
Oh, you can't do anything.
Did I vote for him?
I voted for him. What else can I do? What else can I do? If you are true CPP, you will not go and say that, don't vote for the presidential candidate, vote for me. Or vote for another presidential candidate and vote for me if you are true CPP. And I'm glad that has been exposed now.
Okay, briefly before you go, because time is up, 2 decades or more into our constitutional rule, are we making progress?
We're making progress, but not much. You see, if you give the vote to everybody, but you give the food to the few, or you give education or higher education to few, I don't think that you're making progress democratically. You must give equal opportunity to everybody. Because if you allow our astronauts and our engineers and our architects, men and women, to be on the street selling dog chains and selling water, and you see them and you don't do anything about it, and people are sleeping on the street, you don't do anything about it, then we are not making much progress.
When are you going to Congress? I mean the CPP?
Well, the National Executive has said it's March. We're waiting to see.
By the end of March, who will be the flag bearer of the CPP?
Hopefully, by his grace. Not by my power, not by my mind.
You don't sound confident.
I'm very confident.
Who will be the flag bearer of the CPP?
I will be the flag bearer, of course.
Maya talking. Thank you very much. Mata Kwete is the CPP flag bearer as far. Thank you so much for coming tonight. And that's it for tonight's edition of Behind the News, which came to you live from Broadcasting House in Accra. This program is produced always by Bright Agama, Kingsley Obinchere, Christopher Siedu, and Edmond Tete. Our technical producer next is Olaku Ajay. I am Abraham Asari. Have a good night.